Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of God-Sized Stories. Last week, I shared the first half of my conversation with Amanda Pittman. We talked about her book, Stand in Confidence. This week, we continue our discussion. We talked about red flags in relationships that indicate that a person is undermining your confidence and weakening your relationship with God. She also shared the four components of confidence, which she unpacks in her new book. And by the way, Amanda is giving away a copy of her book, Stand in Confidence, to my listeners. All you have to do is follow this podcast or share this episode on social media. Make sure to tag me. All my social media tags are on the show notes as well. Enjoy the second part of this great conversation with Amanda Pittman. You talk a little bit about a relationship that really fueled into the insecurities that you had to the person. And then the contrast of when you met Michael Pittman in your sophomore year at SMU, you know, and how that relationship flourished. So for women out there who may be either, you know, not married or dating someone, what are some of those red flags that you would say that you better run or better pay attention? You know, this person is undermining your identity of who you are in the Lord.
I'm so glad you asked this question, because I think so many of us can flourish as long as we're connected to the right individuals.
Absolutely.
So much of us, like you said, gets undermined, and these relationships become confidence drainers. I would say one of the biggest red flags, probably the most prevailing red flag, is you lose sight of who God is and you lose sight of who you are. Mm-hmm. If you're losing yourself and you're losing God, that is a red flag. Mm-hmm. When I was in multiple toxic relationships, the first thing to go is my view of self. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. I started to see myself completely differently. I did not see myself as God saw me. And different relationships are going to make you see yourself in different ways. So mm-hmm. with a romantic relationship I was in, I saw myself as a sexual object. Mm-hmm. That's who I became. Yep. I did not see myself as, you know, a child of God, somebody who deserved to be, I guess, treated with dignity. Mm-hmm. I saw myself as someone who, okay, if I can be to your taste, to your liking, if I could be as much as of a sexual toy to you as possible, mm-hmm. then I will find the validation that I'm looking for, and then I'll matter. And I, that's kind of, I guess the word I'm looking for is raw for me to say. Yeah. It's not as polished,
it's
but
real though.
It's real.
And it's very true.
Yes. And we live in such a hypersexualized culture. Mm-hmm. And I think for not just me, but a lot of women, we deal with that, especially in our romantic relationships. We deal with men who may not be led by the Lord, who are trying to lead you.
Right.
And you become a way for their sexual desires to be met. But then you're moving away from who you truly are. And so, the number one thing I would say is like, you're losing sight of yourself and you're losing sight of God. So whenever I was in this, toxic relationship, I started to stray from the Lord, but it was not something that I would consider like a slow drift. It was something I would actually consider very intentional. It almost became intentional.
Right.
Because the person that I was with, they claimed to be a Christian only because they wanted to be in a relationship with me, which happens often with women,
yeah.
unfortunately. But once I was in too deep, that's when this person would say things like, oh, I hope that you don't believe this like other Christians, or, oh, I hope that you're not going to church and that you're changing, you know, yeah. Are you going to become like one of those people? Mm-hmm. And, really starting to pull away. And anytime I would talk about, oh, you know, this is against my convictions, maybe it may be like, what we're doing sexually or something like that. Mm-hmm. It would turn into, you know, this very condemning thing, like, oh, this God thing is getting in the way of us.
Of
right?
course, yes.
Right. And so I started to see.
He's supposed to be your God, really, your priority, right? Like,
right.
That's really what, but it's a very yes. sneaky way that the enemy finds, or he always finding different ways, but relationships are definitely one of the ways that he finds to distract you from the Lord, from just really pursuing your true love, who's supposed to be Jesus.
Yes. You know? So, and I love what you're saying. And I guess the most concise way to put it is, if the relationship draws you away from God, it is a clear red flag.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's funny. When I first got saved, I was 25 years old, and I was dating a guy, and he was like, he had everything, you know, just check all the checks, right? And I, but the moment I started going to church and, inviting him to come and whatever, and getting involved in the church, that's exactly what happened to the relationship. It's like, you know, this God, you know, or this church or what have you. And, mm-hmm. and you have, it's a, I prayed and I asked God, and he made it so clear to me. It was just so amazing that he made it so clear. It's like,
yeah,
you know, this person is not my very best for you. And I know that yes. that happened to you, and you made an amazing decision, wonderful decision that a lot of women don't get to make. Right, don't make, and I end up getting married and to the wrong person. And we know that I'm sure there are listeners out there who are in this type of situation, you know. But thankfully, the Lord, and as I always say for myself, He saved me from myself and my
yes.
stupidity.
And could I actually respond to that?
Yes.
So I love what you're saying, how God saved you from yourself, and he definitely saved me from myself. I want to be clear that I stayed in this relationship far too long. Mm-hmm. Yes, I got out, but I had many opportunities to leave. I had many opportunities. I tried getting out of the relationship many times, and it kept reeling me back in through like ways of manipulation and like just all of these emotional tactics. And the reason why I even say this is because if there's anyone who goes and consumes this interview, I want them to know that if they're in that situation right now and you're feeling condemnation, no, saying, I know I'm not supposed to be in this relationship, I know I was supposed to leave such a long time ago, I just want to make it so clear that you do have a way out.
Absolutely.
There is a way out, and you still can. And God's will for you is so good. Many times we don't leave because we don't think that there's anything better on the other side. His plan for you is so much better than what you have right now. And if you ask him for help, he can give you a way out in the same way that it happened for me, and the same way it happened for Patricia.
That's right. I could definitely write a book about it. And I know that that's a lot of things in this book as mm-hmm. well. It's just like, because now you met Michael Pittman, who is God's choice for you. And together, not only you fulfill every desire of your heart as husband and wife, but you are walking together towards the purpose that God has designed for you guys from the beginning of time. And, you know, you talk on your book about four components of mm-hmm. confidence, you know, that do you want to unpack this? Because I think as people are in relationships, you know, as we're talking about relationships that are undermining their confidence, I think that this four components are very important that they will just tune in. So unpack those for us.
The four components of confidence are clarity, connection, competency, and conviction. And just a really light unpack. When you establish these four things in Christ, you'll build a confidence that lasts. So clarity is whenever you embrace your identity in God and then define your design. Whenever you do these two things, one, you stop trying to discover who you are and you just stand in it. Mm-hmm. And two, you no longer feel the pressure to be anyone else or live up to anyone else's standards or expectations because you know the way that God designed you. When you know how he designed you, then you no longer feel the pressure to be anyone else. So that's that is important, because when you know who you are, you know what to do. So there's clarity. The next is connection. You need to have connection with God and connection with others, because your relationships will determine the course of your life. And so our connection with God, when it's strong, it actually gives us the wisdom and the insight on how to pick our people. So it can't be the other way around. It can't be, okay, I need to find my connection with people and then I'll get my connection with God. No, no, no. You find this deep connection with God and he will lead and help to determine who you're supposed to be surrounded with. And when you have the right voices around you, even when you don't see yourself accurately, they'll still see you and they'll say, this is not who you are. You are a child of God. You're called to something great. And those are the types of people you need in your life. Then there's competency. Many times we fall into this temptation to find our capability and our abilities within our own strength and our own power rather than in God's. So in the competency piece, this is when you create capacity for God to lead you through healing, through the renewing of your mind, so that you can actually believe all of this goodness is available to you. And then finally, there's conviction. Without this huge, like, why driving you, you're not going to do everything that God has called you to do. You need to have a conviction that's greater than your insecurities, a conviction that's greater than your fears, because fears and insecurities will arise, but you need a conviction bigger than it that will empower you to face it. So you need to know your responsibility within the body of Christ. Stop thinking about your calling as optional and start seeing it as a moral obligation, a call to answer. And then that gives you everything you need to stand in authority, so that you could do and be all that God has called you to be. When these four things work together and you find him rather than in your own strength, but when you find him in Christ, oh my goodness, it's so freeing. And so those are the four components.
That's beautiful. And all of this wonderful content is in On Standing Confidence, inside this book. That's a must read for so many of us women. And, you know, I struggled with a lot of lack of confidence. And like you said, it's something that every now and then will creep in. I think if you're alive and you were a girl,
right,
it's going to creep in, you know, just the doubts about yourself and who you are. But you unpack them in a beautiful way, and you tell your story in a way that provides that very, what I always believe, God never wastes any tear that is shed, any hardship that you go through. If you just look at him to guide you, he actually makes ministry out of misery. And that's what he's done in your life.
I mean, yes.
It's beautiful. My first book that I wrote, it was like so much based on the things, the trials that I've gone through in life, and how God used them for me to today be able to minister to women out there who, you know, are seeking the abundant life that Jesus has called us to live, but they don't know how to. And, you know, and I think this is what I love about great books like Standing Confidence, is that the Bible is, of course, the Bible has everything we have. But when we encounter the story of someone who's gone through the same issues that we have gone through, and that God showed them how to get out of the bad situation, or how to find the confidence that they need, or the abundant life that they need in Christ, you know, it is our obligation, you know, to just stand up and help others. That's, you know, that is why he allows a lot of the trials to happen. And you have done this beautifully in Standing Confidence. Tell me what's next. So, like, now that you know, this beautiful book, I know that you're probably doing a book tour with several interviews and things. So how are you going to use this book in your mentorship programs? And I'm sure that you're already using it a lot, but what's next for your ministry?
Yes, well, I believe this is the foundation for so many things. It's relevant to everything. I just hosted a conference called Confident Woman Weekend here in Texas, and it was based on the four components of confidence. And I'm also going to host a Standing Confidence Challenge that's based on the four components of confidence. And anytime I lead a program, it's based on these four components. Because if there's any lack in your life, any lack in your mentality, you will be able to trace it back to one of these things. Mm-hmm. Hard times will come in the faith. They will come. However, you still have access to joy, peace, a belief and a hope for what's better, for what's more. And it just reminds me, the other day I was in the shower, because God talks to me in the shower a lot. And I was in prayer, and one of the things that I was thinking about was this concept of happiness. And a lot of us are looking for happiness in life. Mm-hmm. And I will hear a lot of Christians say, like, happiness is not the goal. Even though we all want to be happy.
Of course.
And I was just thinking about that and processing that with God. And one of the things I felt like he was really impressing upon my spirit was that happiness is so far beneath the abundant life that he died to give us. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to wrap my mind around that, because it almost seems as if happiness is the goal in life, right? Right. And that's what our culture tells us, like, I want to be happy, right? But I felt like he was impressing upon my spirit, no, what's even greater is to have hope. Yes. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, right. Hope, and love. Because you can encounter a great deal of unhappiness, but if you still have hope, right. If you still have faith, if you still have love, oh, you have a richness of life. Oh, absolutely. You have a meaningful life. Yes. You have something to cling on to. Happiness is so fleeting, but what's so much more robust is hope, faith, and love. Mm-hmm. And the good thing is that you always have these things in Christ.
Absolutely.
And so when you ask what's next, mm-hmm. it's greater levels of hope, greater mm-hmm. levels of love, greater levels of faith. And that's the life that he's calling us to. And when we have these things rooted in him, it makes us confident. Absolutely. Not even when we're unhappy, even mm-hmm. when we're suffering, even when hard times come as they are promised, we still have something so robust to cling on to that gives us such a meaningful life. So, for me, my goal is to just continue to carry this message to the world, because it is the message of the gospel.
It really
maybe
is.
Packaged in a different way. Mm-hmm. But it is this beautiful hope, this beautiful message that Jesus saved you and he loves you mm-hmm. and it won't be stripped of you, and you belong to him. And there's always something more to look forward to when you are in him and he's in you. So mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
That's awesome. And it's he is your security, right? For mm-hmm. anybody who struggles with insecurity, if you just cling to Jesus, he has to be the pillar of your security, of where you feel safe. And that's where, you know, the joy comes, you know, the
Absolutely.
Not happiness, but joy. Joy is that
yes.
steady, that steadiness of just like, you can't even, the peace that surpasses all understanding is the
yes.
like, things are falling apart and you are still smiling. And it's not because of happiness. It's because you have that safety in him.
Yes.
You just know that you're his and that nothing can separate you from him, not even death. And
yes.
that's the best place to be. I call, mm-hmm. I say that peace or and joy, they're like a place, right? That you have to go to, and it is, you cannot expect it to be here in the midst of this craziness of life and still find the peace and the joy and the love. Mm-hmm. You have to deliberately seek Jesus. And when you do that, he encompasses your life with all of those wonderful things that
Absolutely.
Is much better than happiness, like I said, and much better than fleeting happiness.
It's Absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, I love Devil. You know, I know that I will be hearing a lot more about you. I just have to say, I heard that you just shared the stage on at She Speaks with Lisa Turkers. That must have been awesome. to be. Oh, she's a doll. I know.
Yes. It was a joy. And Lisa Turkhurst is so warm, so genuine.
She really is.
There's just so much glowing off of her. She's radiating.
And she is one who has found her confidence in Jesus through so much. And we know her story.
Yes.
So I'm actually interviewing her next month. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, this was a wonderful time. Amanda, thank you so very much for just sharing your story with the world and sharing what you have learned from a life of insecurity to now standing in confidence with Christ and how you're sharing this with women out there. And I will have all of your information about the book, about your ministry in the show notes. And I'm just praying that God will just fill you with his love and peace and continue to just expand your territory as it sees fit. So
thank you so much.
It was a blessing to talk to you.
Oh, the feeling is mutual. This was so life-giving. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. You have a great day. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Amanda. Now, if you go to my show notes, you will find a link to my website where you can read a column that I wrote for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution based on this interview and the components of confidence that Amanda writes about in her book. You will also find a link to Amanda's website where you can find out more about her ministry, her services, and her books. And don't forget to follow this podcast and share it on social media for a chance to win a copy of Stand in Confidence. And until we meet again, may God bless and strengthen you as you write your own God-sized story. Thanks for listening.